Myth number six. I should just put my son or daughter's name on the deed of my home and thereby avoid probate, and at the same time, save money by not hiring an attorney or other professional. As mentioned previously, the practice of putting a son or daughter or another family member or friend on a real estate deed, a bank account, or another asset is quite common. It's not a new idea. This practice has been around for years, and sometimes it's worked out okay, at least in the short term. But times have changed, tax laws have been revised, and what was once commonplace and appeared to be permitted practice is not a good idea these days. While you may, in fact, avoid a probate through this approach, the results of this type of planning may end up being far more expensive and far more problematic than probate. For example, if I were to put my son on the deed to my home, what would be the outcome? Well, among other things, my son's creditors would then become my creditors. If he was in an auto accident and was sued, my home could be an available asset if the court judgment went against him. In the same way, if he got divorced, my home could be part of such a divorce decree and related squabbling over assets. Likewise, if I put my son on the deed to my son would then legally own part of my home. And this would give my son all the rights and responsibilities associated with home ownership, including tax liabilities, as well as the right to sell his portion of my home whenever he chose to do so. In addition, if I put my son on the deed to my home, I may have created unintended tax issues, including gift tax and capital gains tax problems. My son might not do the right thing when the time comes, and this is important to note because very often parents who put their children on deeds or bank accounts fully believe that when the time comes for such a child to share, quote unquote, the asset, he or she will, quote, do the right thing, unquote. In short, I would have given up control to my home and created a long list of potential problems if I choose today to put my child on the deed to my home. The same realities would be present if I had put my son on my bank account or another asset. Sometimes parents think they can simply have their son or daughter agree in advance that the parent will take this course of action, i.e., putting the child on a deed or a bank account, solely for the purpose of avoiding hiring an attorney, and have the son or daughter at the same time agree that he or she does not really own part of the house or the bank account. However, if the child's name is on the deed or the bank account, the child owns part of the house. The same is true if the son or daughter is listed on the co-owner of a bank account. That is the legal reality, whether or not the parent and the child have a, quote, side arrangement, unquote. Here's another example from my law practice relating to this type of do-it-yourself estate planning. I was contacted regarding the probate of someone who had died quite unexpectedly at the age of 52. He was single and seemed to have been in very good health. Since he had an elderly widowed mother and his siblings were married with children, all involved thought the most prudent thing would be to engage in self-help planning for the elderly mother by putting her home in the name of the son and doing the same thing with the mother's bank account. Not long after they had made these changes, however, the son died. Because the son had done no estate planning himself, the family was left to pick up the pieces of his affairs, including hiring law firms in two states to undertake two probate proceedings. The home of the elderly mother, ownership of which had been changed into the name of the deceased son prior to his passing, was included in one of these probates, even though the mother was still living in the home at the time. The total legal fees related to this probate exceeded $30,000. There are several items to note and learn from this unfortunate story. If you own land or other assets in more than one state and you die without having established and maintained a valid trust to own and manage such assets, upon your disability or death, your family may need to undertake separate probate proceedings in multiple states. Such scenarios make it all the more important to seek competent legal estate planning counsel. The good news is that it is possible to avoid probate altogether, including in situations in which there are assets in more than one state. None of us knows when our last day will be, so even if we think we're, quote, too young, unquote, to think about death or planning our estate, the truth is that we're never too young or too old to consider these things. Do-it-yourself estate planning is almost always a bad idea, and often leads to bigger and more expensive messes than simply retaining a qualified attorney to do it right the first time. Also, as noted earlier, it's not always possible to fix problems created by the do-it-yourselfers after the fact, and this is especially true when someone has died before proper planning was undertaken. Probate can be an expensive, public, and time-consuming process. On the other hand, this is not, by any means, always the case. In fact, the reality is that a great many, if not most, probate proceedings go smoothly and do not end up costing tens of thousands of dollars. But probate can become a can of worms. And there's no way of knowing beforehand whether your probate will go smoothly, as many do, or will devolve into a big mess. So why risk it? This desire to protect against the unknown is what motivates many people to undertake planning that guarantees probate will not be something that their families will have to deal with. These people desire to protect against the possibility of a long, expensive, and very public court proceeding. And they know that they can avoid this risk. Probate is totally preventable, but such prevention requires proper planning and periodic maintenance